Washington and Beacon. Tadaraba. There was a cab, that's why I happened to think that. It wasn't a cab that hit him. Anything else, Charlie?
No,
any accident with cabs?
No, everything's okay tonight.
Are there any Hackney licenses available?
No.
Huh?
Not now.
Oh.
No.
If you had $30,000, $35,000, would you buy your own cab?
Larry, if I knew I was going to be a cab driver, I would have had mine long ago.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Because I like it. Meet interesting people.
Right.
It's nice. It's good.
When is, what's the oldest female cab driver in the city?
Rosie.
When's Rosie going to retire? Maybe we can buy her a cab.
She'll never retire.
Yeah, well, she's 65 now,
so
70.
She still gets around good. She does a good job.
Takes good care of the cab.
That's right. Beautiful. Always nice and shiny.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, Charlie.
All right, Larry.
So long.
Shalom, Larry.
Shalom. Charlie, I wish I could take you to Ireland with me, the DiGiovanni's of Ireland.
Yeah.
Is that it? They'd say, who ever heard of the name DiGiovanni in Ireland?
Never.
Oh, they did when the Romans came up that way, right? Your ancestors were trudging up all through all through Europe. They say, hey, we're going to take Ireland. They say, well, it'll be a heck of a fight, I'll tell you that. They marched up the Roman legions. Well, okay, Charlie.
Okay, Larry.
Shalom.
Shalom.
It's 25 minutes after 1 o'clock. Let's take a call and see who we have, okay? John Detroit? Hello, WBZ, you're on the air. Commander Glick here. Hello.
Hello, Commander Glick.
Yes.
This is Chuck again.
Hey, Chuck from Indiana.
Right.
See, when I tell you we're going to do something, Chuck, we're going to do it, right?
You made a believer out of me.
All right. Now, you said you had something to talk about, and I didn't know rightly what you wanted to talk about, but I remember that you sell curtain rods.
Right, I used to.
You used to?
Yeah.
You don't do them now?
No, I hope your animal's not as bad as a crocagator, and you know that punchline, too.
A crocagator?
Well, we can't tell that.
Oh, okay.
No, when I originally called about 3 or 4 hours ago, it was to Kerry, and he was getting me bugged about the bugging business.
Oh, yeah.
So, you completely disarmed me. I've lost my thoughts.
Well, then can I borrow a couple of dollars?
That'd be easy.
Hey, what town in Indiana are you, Chuck? Where are you?
Attica, Indiana.
Huh?
Attica, Indiana.
Attica?
Mm-hmm.
How far is that from Fort Wayne?
Oh, it's about 160 miles.
Oh.
We're right on the Wabash River here.
Oh, yeah. That sounds peaceful, just the way they say it. The summertime, Wabash River. Shine on Wabash River.
There
from
you
my
go. Well, I've had an education tonight. I haven't contributed anything to your show.
No, you really haven't. No, I'm waiting for you to come up with something, Chuck.
Well, I was really going to get into some non-political things that could be political.
Yeah.
If you want?
No, not really. I'm looking for the unusual. See, the way we break it up, Chuck, I don't know how long you've been listening to the station, but we have many talk shows. Like, we have news from 4 to 6 in the afternoon,
yeah.
2 hours of news. Then we have a two-hour talk show with Guy Manella, 2 hours on sports, telephone talk show. And then we have Jerry Williams, who is the regular host, on from 8 to 12, and he does all the controversy.
Yeah.
Then I'm on from 12 to the wee hours of the morning, and we talk about everything else.
I see.
That's why we break it up. Like, we're talking about monsters and snallygasters, UFOs. We call interesting people around the world, any place in the world. We check the pulse of the area if something's happening at this time. We
right.
zip down there, but we try to stay away from Watergate, things that that you hear on other stations. We try to make it interesting. We found out that people really enjoy listening to unusual things at night. Ghost stories, UFOs, hypnosis, acupuncture, things that are happening around the world.
Right.
And I've been doing it for 14 years now, so people enjoy that. They hear Watergate until it's coming out of their ears.
True.
And people are really getting bored with it now. I mean, it's important that we have it, but I mean, if you were to eat steak for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, after a while you'd say, someone throw me a piece of ham. Do you understand?
I understand completely. You're beginning to talk my language.
Yeah.
Hey, down here.
Hey, would you listen to this? Would you take those curtains down? I don't want those rods. Someone just came in. They're putting up rods here. And this is not the time to put up curtain rods.
You're not going to play that feedback and call it a monster again, are you?
No. He's gone.
No, I've enjoyed talking to you.
I've enjoyed talking to you, too.
We did have something down here last year, down along Sugar Creek in Park County. And there have been various stories about it. They call it a UFO. And when you run the police scanners, which is a controversial item, too, about running a police scanner, either base or mobile. But on the scanner, they did call it a UFO. But the surprising part was it was an escaped bear, they said. So the UFO was an unidentified furry object.
Very good. Chuck, in Attica, Indiana, I want to thank you very much. And y'all keep listening, you hear?
Okay.
So
glad, the ground waves are coming in there tonight. Sometimes I can't hear you, and sometimes I can.
Well, keep listening, okay, Chuck?
We'll try.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
This is Don Batting. Join me tonight when we'll take a look at acupuncture. A panel of interested citizens and experts will discuss whether Massachusetts should license the practice of acupuncture. It all begins at 8:05 tonight when I sit in for vacationing Jerry Williams right here on WBZ, where entertainment is concerned. The Catholic Charitable Bureau is looking for couples who can help kids in trouble. Foster parents can lend the help and understanding to change a young life. Call 523-5165 and find out about the foster parent program. That's 523-5165.
The Spirit of New England, WBZ, Boston Group W, Westinghouse Broadcasting. We have Officer McMahon, Brookline Police Department. Officer McMahon? Hi, this is Larry Glick. We're on the air. Yeah, you said it. Wait a minute, hold it. Do I get the first round of applause, or do you get the round of applause?
You better give it to me.
Hey, listen, I was driving to work tonight, coming down Beacon in Washington.
Yeah?
All of a sudden, I heard the sound, zoom, and I saw the Brookline police converging on one spot there. And, I mean, they were coming from all directions. What was the story?
Oh, Washington Square there.
Beacon. Right.
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, it was a pedestrian accident. You sure you weren't involved in it?
No, I was taking a left turn coming in. I just saw the thing. I saw the crowd around there, and in 2 seconds, they had the Brookline police at 1, 2, 3, 4. They were there, and they did a fine job.
They were right on top of you. Huh?
Yeah. What happened?
It was a pedestrian accident. A fella hit by a car up there.
Wasn't hit and run, was it?
No.
What's the condition of the guy?
He was taken out of the Beth Israel. To my knowledge, it's leg and head injuries. I don't have any more information than that. But I don't think it was too bad. From the information I have here, I don't think it was too serious. Only right around the corner from you, huh?
That's right.
Well, we keep our eye on you pretty good up there.
You know where I live, right?
Oh, we know a lot about you.
Do you know Patrolman Dugan?
Oh, sure, there's a couple of them.
Jim Dugan.
Oh, Jim Dugan, sure.
Well, we live together up there in the same area.
Well, he takes care of the place.
That's right.
How about the fellow that flies the balloons?
That's upstairs in the penthouse. That's
he lives on the top floor.
That's more, yeah, isn't it funny? That Jim lives on the first floor, and I live up in the middle,
and Morty's on the top floor.
And Major Botfield, he's the one with the bread. He's got the penthouse.
I know he's got the bread.
Right.
Yeah. I should have some of that bread.
So, McMahon, you know, I can't fool around. Everyone knows what the story is, right? We're not under surveillance or anything.
No, you're not under surveillance, but we know what you're doing at all times, so.
Okay, I'll play it cool.
We have our eye on you. We don't want you to get into any trouble, though.
All right.
Okay?
Thanks very much.
And we listen to you here all night anyway. You keep us, we're in tune with you.
Listen, I've got just some good words to say about the Brookline police that they're really on the ball. I better say that because I live in Brookline.
You'll have to give us a plug.
Right. Okay.
What did you do with Charlie tonight? Where's he riding around that cab tonight?
Charlie DiGiovanni's going back into the combat zone. That's where he hangs around LaGrange Street in downtown Boston.
Oh, that's where you pick up your information, huh?
That's where I get the story behind the story. I hope he doesn't pick anything else up around there.
That's hope not.
Okay, officer.
Okay.
Thank you very much, officer. Are you a sergeant or patrolman?
Oh, you're a nice fella. You're going to promote me.
Sergeant McMahon.
You can put some extra money in my paycheck.
Okay, Sergeant McMahon.
Okay, well.
Thank you.
Bye.
Sergeant McMahon of the Brookline Police. But the Brookline Police were right on the ball there. It seemed like they all came in from, one came in from Beacon, coming west, one going down south, one coming in going west on Washington. All hit there at the same time. Okay, let's take a call, John. 254-5678, you're on WBZ. Hello. Hello, Commander Glick here.
Hi, Larry.
Hello there.
How are you tonight?
Let me check. Not bad.
I'm pretty good, too.
I didn't ask you. I'll ask you now, though. How are you?
Pretty good.
Okay.
Okay, I hear you're going to Highland.
Yes, Monday.
What part are you going to go to?
What part?
Right.
Well, we're going to land in Shannon and get a car there, and someone's working out the itinerary now. We'll drive the whole west coast, the southwest, and then work all the way around the coast. Up through to Dublin.
I got some relatives over there.
What county?
County Cork.
Oh, yeah, well, we'll go through. That's in the southern part. We'll go right through there.
Yeah, that's where my mother came from.
Did your mother come from County Cork?
Yes, she did.
Yeah. They said it's beautiful country through there. Agricultural country.
Yeah, I've never been over there, but I've seen postcards and everything.
Well, I'm going to take... Oh, hey, John, I forgot to tell you. There's this fellow, Rudy LaGurge. I keep forgetting. It's Rudy LaGurge. It's Rudy LeRege or something like that. Rudy, I keep forgetting the correct name. I should remember that. The French name's a little difficult for me. Rudy LaGurge. Well, anyways, when I do this club date up at in Tingsboro, he and his wife and friends come up there. And then one night they invited me over to his house. He lives right near this club that I work at. And they were taking pictures with this pole. So his wife is going to loan me. She bought one, John. The wife has one. And she's going to loan it to me for the trip when I go to Ireland. It's the camera. You just focus it in, snap it. The film comes out in 3 or 4 minutes. It's printed and sealed in color. How about that? So I'll take some good pictures over there.
Yeah, I heard the country over there is pretty good. Like, I've seen pictures of it.
Because I want someone taking a picture of me kissing the Blondie song, because McGillicuddy said that I better get a picture of that. I'll say, hold my legs! Don't drop me! But I have to kiss the Blondie Stone. Well, it was certainly swell talking to you. One of the most exciting people I've chatted with tonight.
Thank you.
I'm only kidding, though. Get up. Wake up. Come on. Sit up.
I worked all day. I'm in bed.
Oh. What'd you do?
I work in a gas station.
Oh. How many hours did you put in there?
I work about 40 hours a week now.
Oh, that's not bad, 40 hours a week. Everyone works that. What are you so tired about? Out there, it's a beautiful day today, right?
Yeah, well, like, cooped up in an office and... You got the sun coming down, and like it's 80 degrees, and you're whipping out, in and out of the office.
Oh, listen, let me tell you about something. I was driving, and there was a nice motorist came up back to me, and he said, hey, he said, you're leaking gas. Leaking gas, I said, it's a new car. I zipped around, went down to my gas station down there, and I said, hey, what's the story? I said, did you see, is there a leak there? And they said, no, he just checked the cap. And the guy that filled it up before didn't put the cap on properly. And the gas was leaking out the back.
Yeah, take out your cap. It's kind of tricky to put on.
It's just that it may be a bit tricky or else you fellas are sloppy. Get the caps on. That's all you have to do. That's all you have to do is put the nozzle in the van, put the cap back on. I changed my mind. Okay, just don't make any more mistakes, okay?
I can do it.
Okay. Well, listen, I'll take some pictures of County Cork, and I'll tell you what it's like, okay?
I already know what it's like, but I just...
No, you don't. You've never been over there.
I've seen pictures, and my family's telling me everything.
Oh, yeah. When did your mother come over here?
I don't know what year, but she came over here when she was about 18.
Yeah.
She's about 40 now, so that makes it about 22 years.
Where was your father born?
Quincy, I think.
Are they still married?
Yes.
How many children do they have?
Three.
Where did they meet?
My father was in the service, and there was an Irish dance or something.
Where?
I can't remember.
Yeah.
And, my father picked up my mother at the Irish dance, I guess. And
yeah.
Ever since then.
He fell in love with her.
Yeah, love at first sight, I guess.
Huh? What's your mother's first name?
Rita.
Rita.
Right.
He said, Rita, I love you. He said, I love your brogue. I like the way you speak.
Yeah, she still has it, too.
Isn't that's funny. When people come over from Europe, they even though they're here, she's been here for 22 years, and they still have that. That's a nice... Is your father of Irish descent?
No, Italian and French.
But you're Italian and French and Irish.
Right.
That's a combination, huh?
Mongrel.
No, don't say mongrel. No, I don't like... That's not... No, I don't like that word, mongrel. Yeah, that's... You get the best of the different people. That's good. Well, okay, pal. Listen, thanks very much.
Thank you.
And get some rest. What do you sound exhausted?
Okay.
So long. How old are you?
18.
Okay. So long, kid.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. It's 20 before 2. 254-5678. Hello.
Hi, Larry.
Hi there.
Hey.
Hey.
This is not an old friend of yours, but I spoke to you before, so I'm not really a first-time call. This is...
Oh, yeah. Did I meet you down there?
Yeah, we did a TV show down there.
I remember you, Joe.
Did you
hear Mark call from California tonight?
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah.
He must be getting you all the way out there.
No, I don't think he... No. We do get out there at times, though, but I don't think he was listening.
Yeah, well, we were doing that TV show, remember, and all the lights went out?
Yeah.
And Mark said a word, and magically they all came back on.
All right, I remember that.
We can't say that word here, though.
No.
Hey, I'm in the Army right now, and I just came back from 5 months of hard service in Arizona.
Oh, dear, son.
And they're shipping me to Berlin.
Corporal O'Brien to Berlin?
Right. And I'm going over there for American Forces Television.
I'll be a son of a gun. That's great, Joe.
Well, it's something to do.
You'll like it.
Everybody tells me that I'm going to like it. I understand you were in Germany for a part of the war.
Well, I was there twice. Once during the war, at the end of it, and then I went back in the 50s, and I was broadcasting in Frankfurt and Munich.
For American Forces?
Yeah, AFN, Armed Forces Network.
Right.
But they didn't have TV then.
Oh, well, they got it now.
Oh, I know it. We had just the radio.
The
Rundfunk.
The Rundfunk.
Jawohl, the Amerikanische Rundfunk.
The Wiener Schnitzel.
The Wiener Schnitzel, yes.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, at that time it was... We really lived it up. I was like a celebrity there. There were 100,000 watt stations, and there was no TV, and nighttime radio was the thing then. I was on nighttime radio. I used to get requests. I used to play records, you know, no telephone calls.
Right.
I used to get requests from the Scandinavian countries, the British Isles, down in North Africa.
You got them from everywhere.
Oh, yeah. We covered everything west of the Iron Curtain, you know, all Central Europe. Wherever anyone listened to American music.
Yeah, well, I'm glad I got you tonight, because I just came home the other night, and if you're going off to Ireland, I won't be able to listen to you for a while.
Yeah, I'm leaving Monday for Ireland.
Yeah, well, I'm going off in about a month to Germany.
To Germany? Hey, O'Brien, you're saying that right.
Ah, thank you.
Yeah, going to Germany.
Danke.
I wonder if I should play the German marching song for you.
I was just about to ask you if you would.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm being honest with you. I have it written down here. Larry, would you please play the German marching music for me?
All right, let me call, hold it, O'Brien.
Okay.
Ludwig von Kloppenstein, you will play the Karlwinkler's Landsturm. You will play it good for O'Brien, and you will enjoy it. Stand by, O'Brien.
Standing by.
Thank you.
job, Ludwig.
Okay.
I have to give Ludwig a round of applause.
Go ahead.
Larry, could I ask one more favor of you?
Joe, I am the Godfather. Go ahead, ask a favor.
Godfather, could you tell me the correct spelling of that catchy tune?
Yes.
Yes.
D-E-R.
E-R?
Krauthinkler. Capital K-R-A-U with an umlaut over the U.
Okay.
W-I-N-K-L-E-R.
W-I-N-K-L-E-R.
The Krauthinkler's apostrophe S. Landstrom. Capital L-A-N-D-S-T-R-U-M. To Krauthinkler's Landstrom.
To Krauthinkler's Landstrom.
Gut gesagt, ja, ja.
Ah, danke.
Kennen Sie Deutsch sprechen, O'Brien?
No way.
No way, baby. Well, you will learn it in Germany.
You betcha. I'm going to have to.
Yes, you'll...
I'm going to be over there for 2 years.
2 years, O'Brien.
Yes, sir.
You'll come back. You'll like it over there. You've never been out of the country, have you?
No. I was down in Arizona. I went to Mexico, but we won't talk about that.
No. No, this is a little different. You'll enjoy this, and you'll see other countries. You'll have to go over to take a trip over to Ireland. You have to get down to Italy. Germany, you'll be in the western part of Germany.
Mm-hmm.
You will enjoy yourself, O'Brien. You'll come back a different person.
I hope so.
Okay, O'Brien, just don't bring anything back that's contagious. You understand?
No, Larry, I understand.
You know what I'm talking about?
I have my orders.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Larry.
Commander O'Brien, good luck.
Thank you, Commander Glick.
So long, kid.
Do you know someone who wants to learn English or prepare for their citizenship test? East Boston APAC has free afternoon and evening classes for Spanish and Italian-speaking people. They will also help translate documents. Simply call 567-8857. That's 567-8857.
Traffic, sports, weather, business, news, commentary, Wall Street.
Well, what we do is we get started at 4. That's when most of the news stories begin to come in. At that time of the day, the stories are, well, they're constantly changing all the time. And what we have to do is stay with them. My job is simple. All I have to do is tie it all together and make it make sense.
Today, the BZ Newswatch begins at 4.
All right, let's take another call. 254-567-812 before 2 on BZ. Hello?
Yes, hello.
Hello.
Is this Larry Glick?
Yes, it is.
Well, I'm calling up in response to that guy who called up about that creature.
Oh, yes.
Were you serious, or was he pulling your leg, or
no,
what?
No, serious. Where are you calling from?
Boston.
No, serious. Serious.
Yeah. Well, do you know how to spell that creature's name?
Well, Snallygaster?
How do you spell it?
Okay. Snallygaster. S-N-A-L-L-Y... G-A-S-T-E-R. Give me a Snallygaster, Snallygaster. Yay!
Okay. Is that any relation to the Bigfoot of Northern California?
No, this is a mythical nocturnal creature that is reported chiefly from rural Maryland and is reputed to be part reptile and part bird, and is said to prey on poultry and children.
Oh, really?
A Snallygaster.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that's really interesting.
It is.
Wow, I heard the soundtrack,
yes,
that you played.
Yes.
And that, it really reminded me of the Bigfoot of Northern California.
That's what it is.
Yeah?
Well, that's, they call it Bigfoot. That's, they call it the Sasquatch. That's the Indian name, dear.
Oh, well, there's a film of this Bigfoot of North Carolina, and it's supposed to be this particular creature.
Yeah.
That comes from, Northern California. They've got footprints for him and everything.
That's what this is, dear.
Yeah. Was this spotted in Maryland? Or where?
No, unconfirmed reports, my dear, you know.
Yeah.
But that's what, how old are you?
16.
You're not frightened, are you?
I beg your pardon?
You're not, are you frightened?
No.
That's how old my daughter is. She'll be 16. That's a nice age, huh? My daughter will be 16 in September. Tell me the truth. Have you ever been kissed?
Kissed?
By a boy, you're right.
Oh, yes.
Well, did you like it?
Oh, yes.
Did you love the boy? Did you know who he was?
I liked him.
Yeah. Do you still see him?
Not anymore. It was a while ago.
What happened?
Well, we just got bored with each other.
Why? What do you think the problem was?
I don't know. We didn't have that many interests in common.
What interests did you have in common?
Bowling, politics.
What? You enjoy politics?
Very much.
And did he?
Yeah, but he's gotten away from it more.
Yeah.
Now.
What are your favorite topics in politics, dear?
Oh, just about anything. I'm, you know, very interested in with the way the government works and the social problems and things like that.
Well, you sound like a very intelligent person. What do you want to do when you finish school?
Well, I think I'd like to go on to college and study journalism and hopefully try and influence people through my writing.
How would you want to influence them?
To be more sensible, hopefully.
In what area? How?
Well, one of my big interests, it isn't really political, but I'm very interested in ecology.
What's your first name?
Brenda.
Go ahead, Brenda.
I'm very interested in ecology and in overpopulation.
Yeah.
And I'd like to try and convince people. A lot of people don't even believe there is any such thing as overpopulation. Well, I kind of disagree with that, and I'd like to convince people to start voluntarily limiting their numbers before it becomes necessary.
Are you going to? How many children do you think you'll have when you get married?
None. I don't really plan on getting married. I may, but if I do, my children will be adopted. I intend to have no children.
Well, why is that? What? Or why do you really feel that strongly about it?
Yes, I do. I really do.
How many children in your family?
Just me.
The only child. Was
yeah.
Was it planned that way?
No.
Well, how do you feel being raised by yourself?
It's kind of lonely. I'd like to have some, you know, brothers and sisters, but, you know, can always adopt, and there are so many children now looking for homes. Everybody always takes infants, but no one takes care of the older kids that, you know, can't find homes or anything.
What does your father do for a living?
My father was in the Navy. He was killed in an automobile accident.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Many years ago, yeah.
Oh. So you just live with your mommy?
Yeah, and five cats.
Yeah, I mean, oh, that's wonderful. Well, you're a very intelligent girl, Brenda.
Yeah,
and,
thank you.
Who knows, you might find, fall in love with someone and you might say, Charlie, let's have a child together.
Possibly.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to keep your mind open, right? You don't know what will happen, Brenda.
No.
But you're very intelligent. I'm very happy that you called. Are you a first-time caller?
Yes, I am.
I enjoy having young people that call up, and especially people like yourself. But don't be frightened in case... Hold it, Brenda. Wait a minute. I hear... Brenda! Brenda, I hear it.
Yeah.
Don't be nervous, Brenda. I'm here. I'll protect you. Get away! Sasquatch! Get behind me, Brenda. Look at the size of that monster. Let me get behind you now, Brenda.
can I have that address? I missed the address that man gave you.
Oh, Muck has it. He'll give it to you. Okay? I didn't write it down.
All right.
Okay, Brenda. So long and be a good girl.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
You promise?
Yeah, well, I guess so.
And don't let too many boys kiss you, do you understand?
Well, I'm not going to make any promises on that.
Okay. So long, Brenda.
Bye.
Well, I'm going to zip out, get the 2 o'clock news, and as I said before, we have the story behind the story with one of the hitmen seeing a psychiatrist. I'll get the 2 o'clock news, we'll be back. If you know of an interesting person any place in the world, give us a buzz and we'll make that call. You hear? You don't have to applaud. Let's get on.
Hi, I'm former recording star Patty McKenzie with an offer from the Nostalgia Record Club.
Hold it. I didn't want that one. I wanted the psychiatrist.
Ringing the bell!
You are doctor!
Hit the bell. That's it.
Doctor!
Nurse, who's ringing the bell?
You are doctor.
Well, why not? It's my bell. Send in the next patient.
Doc, I need help. They're out to get me!
Paranoid fiddle-faddle.
I told you, Doc. Did you hear that?
The gunshots? No.
Doc, they're after me because I don't want to kill anymore. I used to be the number one hitman in the family.
Number one? Oh, boy! Could you autograph my nurse?
Doc, I have no interest in my work anymore. I've lost all desire for death. I want to be nice to people.
Then would you take me to Coney Island next week?
Sure, Doc, sure, anything. And I have this terrible compulsion to save people. Why, even last week I even threw a guy off the Brooklyn Bridge just so I could jump in after him.
Did you save him, sickie?
No, I forgot. I can't swim.
I see.
One of your troubles is you're a dummy.
Then I detect evidence in your collective unconsciousness of a collapsed archetype.
Or what we call a fallen Archie.
An Archie?
Yes. If you're a girl, it's a Veronica and Betty. This is what causes an inferiority complex.
I have an inferiority complex?
No complex! You're inferior!
What does that mean?
Means you're a sissy.
Analysis time. Jump on the couch, sissy. And trust me, I am a specialist in the criminal mind. You remember Bonnie and Clyde?
Yeah, yeah.
I gave them willpower, made them extroverts. They come to me. They were Mars and Jeanette.
Well, doctor, what can you do for me, huh?
Build up your confidence. I throw a knife at you and ask a question. If the knife hits you, don't worry, I repeat the question. Now for the famous Rorschach test. Where was Heinrich Rorschach on the night of August 3rd?
I don't know. I can't be in two places at once.
Uh-huh. A split personality. Which one of you is here today?
I am.
Okay, we start with you. When did this nice guy feeling first come over, you pussycat?
Well, about a month ago. Suddenly I realized I couldn't shoot people.
Fire a gun!
But, Doc, I'm a... Doc, I'm afraid of bullets.
Doc! I gotta tell you everything!
We only have one last resource. Are you familiar with hypnosis?
Hypnosis? Yeah, yeah. He married Jackie Kennedy.
Close enough, Mr. Current Events. There's hope for you yet.
Time's up! You're cured!
I am?
Correct! $20,000, please. In small bills, huh?
But I thought that psychoanalytic cures sometimes take 10 years.
I charge you for 10 years. But I cure you in one intensive session.
Gee, thanks a lot, Doc. You're really fantastic.
It's happening.
Huh?
I knew it would. You're falling in love with me.
That's not true, Doc. I'm fond of you, but that's about all.
What do you mean? Was it something I said?
Look, Doc. Doc, I gotta go, huh? Thanks a lot,
something
Doc.
I've done? I offended you? Is it another doctor?
I have a right to know, right? Let me make it up to you.
I have trouble with the language.
You have one more chance.
For a doctor.
We'll be back with the doctor. Hi, Dave.
Hi, everybody.
Hi there.
This is Dave Minter, and I'll be seeing you at 5:30 on the Carl DeSue Show on Radio 103.
The Spirit of New England, WBZ, Boston Group, W Westinghouse Broadcasting.
It's 67 degrees in Boston. Tonight's toll will be 65. I'm Streeter Glick reporting the 2 o'clock WBZ News. Former President Juan Perón returned to Argentina from exile Wednesday, and his arrival touched off a bloody gun battle. At least 14 persons were killed and as many as 225 injured in the more than 3 hours of gunfire that was exchanged by warring factions of Perón's followers. Deposed White House counsel John Dean says President Nixon blocked a House investigation of the Watergate scandal at the height of the 1972 campaigning. In a summary of the testimony given Senate investigators last week, Dean also was quoted as saying Nixon asked that tax audits be halted for some of his unidentified friends. President Nixon and Soviet Party chieftain Leonid Brezhnev returned to Washington Thursday for the signing of two agreements they hammered out at Camp David. Friday, they fly to California to wind up their week-long talks at Nixon's Oceanside Villa at San Clemente. And it's 33 years of wedded bliss for President and Mrs. Nixon. Thursday, the couple celebrates their 33rd year since taking their wedding vows. A dinner in their honor will be held at the Soviet embassy with Soviet Party leader Leonid Brezhnev as host. The Senate Judiciary Committee continued its hearings Wednesday on the nomination of Clarence Kelly as permanent head of the FBI. Kelly said tenure for the director would achieve greater independence in the office, but that he would favor a congressional committee to watch the Bureau to protect it against corruption. WBZ News Time, 2 minutes after 2.
Military pay and benefits are at their highest level ever, and no service pays more than the Marine Corps. The Marine Corps is looking for a few good men. If you're interested, this is BZ's Larry Justice asking you to see Sergeant Richard Mines at 110 Tremont Street or call 426-4749.
The Vatican issued a worldwide directive to Roman Catholic bishops Wednesday, stressing their religious obedience to the Pope. Pope Paul urged them to live in poverty, listen to laymen, and replace stern authority with inspired guidance. The directive was disappointing to liberal bishops who want a more independent role. Israel's defense minister, Moshe Dayan, held a meeting yesterday with Palestinian Arabs and Orthodox Jews who are neighbors in the Hebron area. Group W's Jay Bushinsky reports.
Interviewed while on an official visit to occupied Hebron and the newly established Jewish town of Kiryat Arba nearby, Defense Minister Moshe Dayan contended that coexistence between the Palestinian Arabs of Hebron and the predominantly Orthodox Jews of Kiryat Arba was possible as long as each side recognized the rights and interests of the other. Dayan rejected the notion that Jewish settlements in areas taken 6 years ago in the Six-Day War were an obstacle to peace.
I don't think that the peace that we have to achieve can be dictated by the terms of the Arabs. I don't think that we have to act in such a way that it will be approved by the Arabs, and only in this way we have to try to reach understanding, to compromise.
The weather for Boston and vicinity for the rest of this morning becoming cloudy by sunrise with some fog developing near the coast, lower temperatures in the mid-60s. For Thursday, the 21st day of June, becoming partly cloudy by afternoon with chance of a shower or thunder showers during the afternoon. Highest temperatures in the low to mid-80s. Thursday night, chance of evening, same thing, showers and thunder showers, followed by variable cloudiness. And Friday, cloudy, highest temperatures in the 80s. Right now in Boston, it's 67 degrees. High sports fans in the BZ scoreboard in the American League. Boston Red Sox beat Milwaukee 3-2. Other scores. Chicago White Sox 8, California 3, Cleveland 7, and Detroit 6. Yankees 2 and Baltimore 1, Texas 3, Minnesota zip. In 12 innings, Kansas City 5, Oakland 4. In the National League, Cincinnati 7, San Francisco 5, Philadelphia 4, and the Mets 3. Chicago Cubs 5, Pittsburgh 3. That's it, sports fans. The top story of the hour.
Former President Juan Perón returned to Argentina from exile Wednesday, and his arrival touched off a bloody gun battle. And that's the 2 o'clock WBZ report. I'm Streeter Glick, WBZ News. The Boston Center for Adult Education offers a wide variety of daytime and evening classes. Call 267-4430 for a free course booklet. We now present a WBZ editorial by our general manager, Cy Anon.
The federal government's Environmental Protection Agency provided Boston and other metropolitan centers across the country with some transportation shock therapy last week. In essence, the EPA is asking Americans to change their driving habits where necessary to prevent unlivable air pollution conditions. For Boston, the proposed regulations would even include a ban on car travel within the Route 128 area one day a week at certain times of the year. The EPA has scheduled hearings to gauge public reaction. No doubt, it will be lively. And we expect modification in some parts of the plan, which would create economic havoc and be a nightmare to enforce. But the problems involved here are real, and some action is necessary. One basic point that must be emphasized now is that just cutting back on auto traffic is not an adequate policy. Better transportation alternatives have to be developed, and developed quickly, if thousands of people are to be lured or forced from their cars. There's tremendous potential for cutting car use, gas consumption, and pollution simply through carpools, something WBZ will be helping people to get involved in over the next several months. But there must also be vastly improved mass transit facilities, and providing them will require a lot more federal and state money than now goes to public transportation. This transportation funding is an important issue in Congress right now. An amendment has been proposed to the Highway Trust Fund that would give cities and states the option of using up to $700 million in highway trust funds for mass transit. The amendment was approved by a close vote in the Senate, but then lost out in the House. The measure is now hung up in a conference committee, and we think that some of the agitation over the new EPA traffic control regulations should be directed to the congressional leadership to get the mass transit amendment turned into law.
That's how WBZ sees it. We recognize our obligation to broadcast opposing opinions. Once again, back to the Larry Glick Show. Let's see who we have. 254-5678. You're on WBZ. Hello. Come in if you can hear me.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes?
Yes.
Larry Glick?
Yes.
Is this Larry?
Let me check. Yes.
I'm a first-time caller.
Where are you from, lady?
Norwood.
Oh, yeah. I know some of the Norwood police out there. Do they take good care of you?
Pardon?
The Norwood police take good care of you?
Oh, yeah. The best.
Well.
Larry, I had a strange experience today.
I like to hear about strange experiences.
I have a cat.
Can you speak a little louder, please?
I have a cat.
Yes.
And the cat is sick.
Oh.
Now, I called the animal rescue yesterday.
Yes.
Because I have a German shepherd, and I don't want the German shepherd to get sick.
No.
So they only come to Norwood on Wednesday. So they came today between 12 and 1. And they caged her, put her in the cage, put her in the ambulance, and I signed the paper. And I was leaving the house tonight about 6:30, and the cat was at the door. Now this is my cat.
It is your cat.
Oh, definitely. Is
I'll be a fan.
So I don't know whether the man opened the cage and let the cat out. I can't picture the cat walking home from Boston.
What do you think happened, Mommy?
I don't know. Now, they only come to Norwood once a week. I've got to get rid of my cat.
You have to get rid of the cat?
Oh, yeah, the cat's sick. I mean, I don't want to get rid of the cat, but the cat is sick.
Right.
I'd rather see the cat, put to sleep rather than...
What's wrong with the pussycat?
I don't know. I mean, I think he has, you pick him up, he's all...
What?
He's oozing.
Oh, I don't want to hear it, because it's time for our coffee break. Blah!
Please.
Yeah,
okay. I'm sorry. Yes, I don't want to hear, lady. Please, lady. I'm going to have my chicken in a moment.
Yeah, no, I have three children, and I think it's unhealthy.
Yeah, it is. Get rid of the cat.
Yeah, but what's this animal estuary pulling?
I have no idea.
I mean, what do you think this guy took the cat? He put him in a cage.
Hey, Muck. John, is Muck up? Hey, call the Animal Rescue League and ask him how something like that could happen, would you? We'll call...
I signed the paper.
Huh?
I put my name on a paper.
Saying that it was okay to get rid of the cat.
Oh, yeah, you have to sign a paper when you call.
Okay,
the
Muck's going to call the Animal Rescue League in Boston. And where did you call him? What's the address? You remember the address?
No, I have the telephone number.
Oh, you have the telephone number?
Yeah.
Okay, will you give it to Muck so Muck can call him?
Yeah.
Okay, off the air, Muck. Get this, and I'll play these messages, and then we'll be right back. I get the story behind the story.
There are many children in state institutions who don't have grandparents. ABCD's Foster Grandparents Program is looking for senior citizens over 60 to fill this role, and you may be eligible. If you're interested, call ABCD Foster Grandparents Director, Herb Gerald, at 357-6000, extension 418.
WKC.
Where Carl.
Good morning. It's a beautiful day.
Gary.
Upstairs to the BZ copter. Good morning, Joe Green.
Joe.
Good morning, Gary. Right now, the traffic.
Gil and Don. Dave and Larry.
What would you like to hear me sing?
Nothing at all.
Steve.
That's your 4 o'clock WBZ News 1.
Next. Guy.
Hello, you're on Calling All Sports.
Jerry.
Hello, America.
And Larry.
Good night.
Are concerned. WBZ Radio, where entertainment is concerned.
Young boys need guidance on the road to manhood. Ready to help? This is BZ's Larry Justice urging you to contact the Jewish Big Brother Association at 72 Franklin Street, Boston, or call 542-8742. You'll be glad you did.
Good boy, Larry. We're calling the Animal Rescue League. We have this lady in Norwood. We want to get the story behind the story, how something like this could happen. You know, I keep forgetting there, if you want some of these swell prizes, we like to give out swell prizes there, I don't know how many tickets we've given away so far, but we have about 100 that we can give away. It passes to a special screening of The Man Who Loved Cat Dancing, starring Burt Reynolds, at the Sherry Theater at the Prudential Center, Tuesday morning, June 26th at 10:30 a.m. John Ridd is one of the managers of the SAC theaters. He's not there, but if you ask for John Ridd, you might get a swell surprise, too. Keep woman on. Yeah, both. Right. Hello, lady, you still there? We have the other. We have them hooked up. Hello.
Hello.
Lady, are you still at the Norwood?
Yep.
Okay. Do we have the person that? What's John says? One moment. He's dialing it again. You gave Muck the number, right?
Right.
Would you like a ticket to? Do you ever get into town, lady?
Pardon?
Do you ever get into town into Boston?
Do I ever get into Boston?
I'll ask you that again. Do you ever get into Boston?
No, I don't drive, Larry.
Why?
Well, I'm an epileptic.
Oh, yes.
I
don't want you to either.
Oh, I never will.
Hey, do you know that they've had some success using hypnosis? So there goes Maxie Getman, bartender. Hey, Maxie, don't get nervous. They've had success with hypnosis and epileptics. Did you know that?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's something new that they've been working on.
Are you doing it?
No, I'm not myself.
Oh.
No, but I've been reading.
I know they've come a long way in medication.
Yeah, I've been reading some things about it in some medical journals, and they're having some success with it.
Oh, that would be terrific.
Yeah.
Because I've had it for 32 years.
Yeah, but it'd be nice if you could control it, though, huh?
Oh, it would be terrific.
When do you get these attacks? When you're usually emotionally upset?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, and with hypnosis, that's what they were saying.
Right.
Like the same with asthmatic attacks.
Yeah.
They're doing some great work with that, too, using hypnosis, where if a person becomes emotionally upset or they're seeking attention or something, these attacks come on with hypnosis. As soon as they come on, they control their emotions, they relax themselves, and they can control it. And they've been eliminating these epileptic attacks and asthmatic attacks.
Yeah, that'd be terrific.
I know it.
I'd love to drive a car.
Yeah, well, why don't you see a physician? And that uses hypnosis.
Well, I'm treated at Mass General.
Oh, yeah, well, you can't go wrong there.
Yeah. I'll ask my doctor about that.
Okay. Very good.
That's never good. I mean, it's very hard. I don't like to travel alone.
I don't blame you.
I take one of the children with me when I go.
No. Oh, wait a minute. John says there's no answer.
Yeah.
There's no answer there. That's surprising. Well, okay. Listen, ma'am.
Yeah.
If you, you can't go to town, you can't have the pass, you can't, we can't get, there's no one answers at the Animal Rescue League.
Yeah.
Okay, lady, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
So long.
Bye-bye.
All right, 254-5678, you're on WBZ. Hello?
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 Larry?
Yes.
Oh.
Oh.
No, I was just listening to that lady who was telling you about her cat.
Yeah.
And I've been hanging on for about 15 minutes, and what great time. I was probably just about to be disconnected.
Where are you from, neighbor?
Baltimore, Maryland.
You said Baltimore, too.
Well, I'll tell you, there's a myth.
Yeah.
A lot of people have been calling your program and spreading it. Very few people down here say Baltimore.
Baltimore.
Very few people say Baltimore. If anyone says that at all, it's Balmer.
Balmer, right.
Yeah, no, not Baltimore.
What?
Balmer.
Balmer. Where are you from, Balmer?
B-A-L-M-E-R.
Where are you from, Balmer?
Right, but very few people say that. They all say Baltimore.
Baltimore, okay.
Well, anyway, what I called you about is I was reading a book called Mysterious Worlds by Dennis Barton. And in it, I came across something which is interesting and which may make for a good call.
Okay.
There was a man by the name of James Kidd who died in somewhere around 1967. And he was a wealthy miner. And he was a bit eccentric. And he left a will providing that his fortune would go to anyone who could prove the existence of the human soul. So there was this this instructor in philosophy in Long Beach City College, Long Beach, California, who claimed that he could prove the existence of the human soul. And they had a trial, which was held in June of 1967, and he lost the trial. He didn't win the case. But according to Mr. Barton, this professor, whose name is Spurney, Professor Spurney, his arguments were well presented and were the result of a lot of hard work and some deep delving thought, and were well worthy of his presentation in court. So I thought maybe he would make an interesting call.
He would. I like that sort of thing.
And could,
what do you know about this fellow, the one who died? What about his background?
Well, I don't know too much. It doesn't go too much about, you know, James Kidd himself, except that he was a miner, wealthy, and eccentric.
Where did he live?
He lived in Arizona, Phoenix.
James Kidd. I wonder if he were a descendant of Captain Kidd.
He could be. I used to go to school with a kid named James Kidd. Nah, it couldn't be.
No.
How old? Got some of the fortune.
How old are you, kid?
I'm 25.
How old was this James kid when he died?
I don't know. I would imagine he was middle-aged, at least.
Yeah. Arizona. Okay, that'd be a good call.
As a matter of fact, the author himself, Dennis Barton, would make a great call. His credentials are very impressive.
Tell me about them.
Well, he's a journalist.
Yeah.
And he's worked as a reporter and feature writer and special correspondent for some British newspapers, like the Sunday Chronicle and the Sunday Express and the Daily Mirror. He's edited more than 100 documentaries on current affairs for the British Broadcasting Company's Focus radio series, and was the first editor of the internationally famous television magazine program, Panorama. He's a member of the Society for Psychical Research in Britain.
Oh, yeah.
Member of the Ghost Club.
Hey, he'd be
the author of Ghosts and Hauntings, a book titled Churchill in Parliament.
Where does he live?
Biographies of Princess Margaret, Sir Anthony Eden, Lord Justice Burkett, and Elizabeth Fry.
Where does he live?
Well, I have his address. I got this from the library.
Where does he live?
Okay, hold on, I'll get that.
No, wait a minute, I just want to know, because I don't want to get here now.
Oh, in England.
Oh, yeah. All right. I'd like to speak with this professor of philosophy.
Right.
The soul. What did he say about the soul, do you remember?
No, except the only... It was a pretty lengthy presentation, and And the object of the book isn't to go into any kind of thesis whatsoever on any one of the categories of psychic phenomena. Well, it's just to present case histories and let the reader decide what he wishes to.
What do you do for a living?
Right now I'm going to school.
Where?
Broadcasting Institute of Maryland.
I'll be a sausage. And you want to get into broadcasting?
Yes.
You're all right. You think it's an easy deal?
No.
It
is. No.
It's easy.
Once you get established.
Right.
It's getting established, it isn't easy.
No, there's a little problem there, but you can do it, though.
Well, there's a lot of room.
Yeah, there is, and you can do it. I've got a good feeling you'll be able to do it, kid. But I want you to stay down in Baltimore.
Well, no, I may come up to Baltimore and try and see you.
We don't need you up here. Please, we don't need you, kid.
I don't know. Speak to Jimmy McKittrick. He could use all the customers he could get.
Hey, how do you know Jimmy McKittrick?
You're going to like this guy.
You remember that, huh?
Yeah. Funny.
You're going to like this guy.
You're going to like this guy.
But this Jimmy McKittrick really is a gentleman, too.
Yeah.
You don't bump into too many club owners that are a gentleman. And there's a Sam Peacock out in Auburn. He's a gentleman, too.
These guys are all pleasant bosses to work for.
Yeah. They're pleasant. They're very, very good to me.
Mm-hmm. What about the other performers?
Oh, wait a minute. They're friendly with... No, they take care of them, too. And then there's Harry up in the at Nick's Happy Hour, and then there's Mike down at the FEI Club. Yeah, listen, I guess they all treat you pretty good.
Yeah, I hope nobody in.
Huh?
I hope nobody in advertising is taking all that down. All those people are going to get bills.
Yeah. Okay, listen, y'all be good. Stay on the line, and give Mike the name of this professor, will you?
Okay.
And is your first time calling from Baltimore?
No, I've called before.
Okay. Hold on and give Muck all that information.
Certainly.
Okay, Muck, see if you can line up maybe up for tomorrow night. 254-5678, you're on WBZ. Hello.
Hello, Mr. Blake.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm calling from Chicago.
Oh, I can hardly hear you.
I'm calling from Chicago, and I've heard your broadcast before about hypnosis and to stop smoking.
Yes.
Could you recommend anybody in this area?
In Chicago? Chicago, Chicago's a shoot-em up town, a shoot-em up town. Were you born in Chicago?
No.
Where?
Born in Minnesota.
How come you came down to the big city?
I don't know. I just love it, I guess.
What do you do there?
I'm in personnel.
I can't. In personnel?
Uh-huh.
Can you speak a little louder?
I'm in personnel.
Oh, a big firm?
Well, yeah, data processing.
All right, what do you want hypnosis for?
Well, I can't stop smoking.
Don't say... What's your first name?
Kay.
Kay?
Uh-huh.
Don't say you can't stop smoking. You can.
Well, I really can, but I feel like I don't want to. But
it's
detrimental to my health, and I just want to help me along.
Kay, in order for this hypnosis to work for smoking, you have to want to stop.
Well,
you have to have the desire. That's the first prerequisite. You have to have the desire to stop smoking.
Well, I want to stop smoking, and I know I need to, and I just, but I just can't, I feel frustrated. I just can't do it on my own.
Yeah, well, I understand that. A lot of people need just a little extra help, but you can do it. It's a psychological, 96% of it is a psychological habit.
But, I know it is, because I feel like it's my security blanket.
Why do you need a security blanket? Why don't you get a man?
I don't know. I really don't.
Why don't you get a man as a security blanket?
I've been...
How old are you, Kay?
33.
Have you been married?
Yes.
Are you married now?
Yeah.
You divorced?
I
can hardly hear you.
Loosely speaking, yes.
Huh?
Loosely speaking, yes.
Loosely speaking? What do you mean by that?
Well, sort of, but not really.
Oh. I see. Well, what you should do is call the Cook County Medical Association.
Cook County Medical? Okay.
Right. And say, how do you do? My name is Kay, and I am a smoker. And would you give me the name of a physician who uses hypnosis, please? I hear that they're having good success eliminating cigarette smoking. What physician?
There was a doctor here by the name of Dr. Kroger, and I don't know if he's here now or not. Could you tell me if he is?
Dr. Kroger?
Dr. Kroger?
He's a psychiatrist. He's out on the West Coast.
Oh, he's on the West Coast now.
Yes. I don't know if it's the same Kroger, but there is one on the West Coast.
Well, he was here for a while, and I do believe he has left this area.
Yeah.
Sure.
He's a psychiatrist. He was an obstetrician at first, I think, or an obstetrician or pediatrician, and then he went into psychiatry.
I think he was. I think he was, too, but I don't have too much knowledge.
Yeah, he's in Los Angeles now, so that would be kind of difficult for you.
Uh-huh. Yes, it would.
Yeah, but there are other physicians in Chicago are listed.
I've heard your broadcast. It's very frustrating because every once in a while, when you have something real interesting, it fades out.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And
I'll have my engineer crank it up.
You really have a fascinating. Were you in Florida in 1969, in about January of 1969?
Yeah, 59-60. Yes, I was there.
You were? Because yeah. I was there for about, I think a month. And I couldn't stand it. Were you in the morning, weren't you, or late night? Or
same thing, midnight to 6.
Right, because I heard you, and I thought, why don't you come to Chicago? And I didn't know you were going to be there, or you were there permanent or what. But anyhow, I heard you many times, and I listened, and there was Jack Eigen here in Chicago.
Right. Is he still on?
Pardon?
Is he still on?
No, he's not. He's been gone for quite some time. I think he's in Fort Lauderdale now.
Oh.
Yeah, he moved down there. He tells all his whole family history on the air. So he moved there. He bought a condominium, and I think he's there now permanently because he lost his whatever you call it here in Chicago. He was about 12, 13 years, I think, here.
I know. He's been there. He was there for a long time, but
And he was fascinating because he had such interesting people talking to him.
Right. I interviewed him once a long time ago.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
How do you spell your last name?
G-L-I-C-K.
Oh, I thought it was G-L-U-E-C-K like beer.
Oh. Now, wait a minute. Hold it. There used to be a spelling, G-L-E-U-C-K, with the umlaut over the U. The umlaut. But there's a Glick beer. Where? What city is that in?
I think it's Milwaukee, isn't it?
I don't know. I don't think so, because I asked people in Milwaukee, I said, did you ever hear of Glick beer? And they said, no. But you heard of it. There is a Glick beer. I'm
there
glad
you... There is, really. And I was going to write to you before and ask you information, but I felt stupid because I didn't know the spelling of your name.
Yeah.
Not well if I spell it G-L-U-E-C-K.
No, it's pronounced, that spelling, it's pronounced Glick.
Glick. Spelled, huh?
Yeah, but this mine is G-L-I-C-K.
Uh-huh. Well, it's been delightful talking to you.
It's been delightful talking to you.
I will call them and see what I can work out because I just cough, a million coughs a minute, and I just can't stand myself, and I hate myself.
Yeah. Kay, you should stop smoking, Kay.
I know. And I stopped for 10 solid years because I started smoking when I was about 13 years old. And I stopped for 10 years, and then I started again, and I'm just, I just can't stand myself, really.
Every time I hear the name Kay, I think of that song. It's okay to okay till payday. Your credit is okay with Kay. For gifts, for watches, for diamond rings. Pa 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 pa.
You can just sing me to sleep every night. You just fascinate me. I can't sleep at night because I smoke all night. I can't sleep. So I
shame.
Listen to you, and I've turned you off because we have an hour difference in time.
Yeah.
And so I listen to you, and I hear the ear plug, and I put it in my ear.
Hey, do you ever listen to Larry Johnson on a sister station in Chicago, WIND?
From Memphis or someplace in Tennessee?
Yeah, call up, tell him I said he was a bum.
Well, he's still wow. He calls all these people from, these celebrities from all over.
Yeah.
And, it's kind of weirdos that they're in the news at the moment. You know?
Yeah.
And it's interesting sometimes.
Tell him, if you ever speak to him, tell him I said he was a bum.
Oh, I'll say he's a bum. I'll tell him he's a bum, too, because...
No, I'm only kidding. He's a nice guy.
Yeah, he's really nice. And everybody's really nice. I think I like you so much because you don't have all this terrible things going on in the world. I like to have happy times, you know?
Yeah, once in a while, people are entitled to a few little happy times. Well, okay.
Yeah, and you know, and you have the greatest foot down... you have it in such a delicate way, and you say, and you're very honest, you know, you say, I don't dig this, or whatever, and I like it so much, because this is how I feel. If I don't like what they're doing, I don't care, I'm not going to be out for a personality steel of some kind, you know.
Hey, Kay, would you spread the word around Chicago that we're on the air at 10:30 WBZ?
And I knew what I hear the worst time figure of is WBZ or WBC.
No, BZ, Boston Zebra.
B Zebra, right. Okay.
Okay, Kay. So long.
And it's been delightful talking to you.
Been delightful with you. So long, Kay.
Okay, adios.
Adios.
Bye.
Adios,
bye.
Mother. The Spirit of New England, WBZ, Boston Group, W, Westinghouse Broadcasting. We're going to take a little coffee and cookie break. Art Buchwald will entertain, and we'll be right back. We have some calls cooking. If you have something interesting, any call, any place in the world, give us a buzz and we'll make that call. Don't go away, you hear? Don't go away. Art.
Ladies and gentlemen, we present the life and hard times of Art Buchwald.
Thank you very much. Now, I don't want to be here under false pretenses. I don't have much use for education. And I'll explain why. I did run away, and I did join the Marine Corps when I was 17 years old. I never finished high school. And while I was in the Marines, the only thought that occurred to me is if I ever wanted to get out of the Marines, I better do something. Like go to college. But when I got out, I knew I didn't have a high school diploma. So I decided I'd go to night school out at Southern California and make up the credit and then go to college. But I didn't know what I needed, so I went over to the University of Southern California to find out what I needed to get in college. There were about 4,000 guys in line, all GIs, waiting to get in, and I got in line with them. About 3 hours later, I got up to the desk, and the woman said, "Fill this out." And I said, "Yes, ma'am." She says, "What do you want to take?" I said, "I don't care." She said, "Math?" I said, "Fine." She said, "Philosophy?" I said, "Great." She said, "Spanish?" "Good." She said, "Have it stamped over there." I said, "Yes, ma'am." And I went over to the other desk, and a man stamped it, and I was in college. A year later, they called me in. And they said, "You don't have a high school diploma." I said, "I know." They said, "Then you're not supposed to be in college." I said, "I know." They said, "What do you want me to do now?" They said, "We'll make you a special student." I said, "What does that mean?" He says, "You can't work for a degree." I says, "Oh, I don't care. I don't have a high school diploma. There's no sense working for a college degree." So I went for 3 years and took everything I wanted, and then I left. But I had my revenge. Last year, the University of Southern California made me alumnus of the year. So all of you are wasting your time. Now I was very happy at the University of Southern California. I was making $75 a month from Uncle Sam. And all the girls had convertibles. And I could have stayed there forever, except the citizens of New York State, where I originally came from, decided to give all those who had served in the troubles a bonus of $250. And they passed the law so fast, and they sent out the check so fast, it was an election year, that I didn't have time to spend it. So I took the check up to the Daily Trojan office where I worked, and I said, "Hey, look, the citizens of New York State have just given me $250. What should I do with it?" And somebody said, "Why don't you give it to the alumni fund?" Well, cooler heads prevail. Somebody said, "Why don't you go to Paris? I hear the streets are paved with mattresses." Well, this seemed like a good idea. So I hitchhiked to New York, and I bought a one-way ticket on a student ship called the Marine Jumper, which it did. It took 9 days to get to Paris. And on board the ship were some very attractive young ladies from all our leading universities, none who would have anything to do with me until the last day, when they realized if they ever hoped to get off the ship, they'd need a porter. And I looked like just about the right size. So three of the girls took a liking to me, and sure enough, I helped them off with their luggage. And we got on the boat train, and we arrived in Paris around 10 o'clock at night. And the people who were supposed to meet the girls didn't show up. So they sat on their luggage and started to cry. I said, now don't cry. I'm an American. I'm an American. I'll protect you. You just stick with me. So they said, all right. So we went outside, and we went, and there was a string of hotels there, and we went to the first one, and we said, how much are the rooms? They said, $1 a night. We said, fine. And we went upstairs, and as the girls were unpacking, a woman came by, and she said, what are you kids doing here? And they said, why? And she said, don't you know what kind of place this is? And then I started to cry. Well, they barricaded their doors with furniture, and somehow we got through the night. And the next morning, I took them down to the American Express, the father image of us all, and dumped them there. Because I wanted to go to the left bank and live the life of Hemingway and Eliot Paul and all the people I had read about. And I was very lucky. I found a wonderful hotel in Montparnasse. It was called the Hotel Daisy Kazuni. And it was a Polish cooperative. I got a job stringing for Variety, the show business paper. And a stringer is someone who gets paid by space. And I got $8 a column. It took about 50,000 words to fill a column. But it did give me a chance to go to cocktail parties and eat. I never got a chance to talk to anyone because my mouth was always Then I noticed that the Paris Herald didn't have a nightclub column. So I went to him, I said, hey, look, I'm making so much money working for Variety, I could work for you for practically nothing. So I started writing about nightclubs, and occasionally I added a restaurant onto the end of the list. And pretty soon I discovered people were far more interested in Paris restaurants than they were in nightclubs. So I started writing a lot about restaurants. And as a matter of fact, after 4 years in the Marine Corps, and 3 years at the University of Southern California, and 1 year at the Hotel Daisy Tazuni, I became the food and wine expert of the Herald Tribune. Well, as people kept getting fired and dying, I took on their duties. And in 1952, they decided to syndicate the column in the United States, and now it's in 225 newspapers throughout the world, and occasionally, it's picked up in Pravda and Svezia, although I've been told it loses something in the translation. Now, recently, one of our correspondents in Moscow wrote a story about how they were using my column all the time, and I got a little nervous. I didn't want to be called in front of the House on American Activities. I said, I don't care if the Russians use my column, and I don't care if they pay me or not, because I really work for the CIA. And my column is a code to our agents in Moscow. And every third word is a message to one of our people there. Well, the Russians were very amused by this, and they wrote an article, and they said, we always knew Buckwall worked for the CIA. And that's why we always scramble that third word. Now, the Tribune lets me go where I want and do what I want. And one of my most interesting experiences was driving from Paris to Moscow in a new Chrysler Imperial driven by a uniformed chauffeur. And the question I was trying to answer was, could an American in a chauffeur-driven car with torque flight transmission, hemispherical combustion, full-time coaxial power steering, and an automatically lighted glove compartment drive from Paris to Moscow without being arrested. Well, my wife thought this was one of the stupidest ideas she had. In Russia at Brest, we were introduced to our guide, Vladimir, a very chain-smoking, nervous young man who at first couldn't believe the good fortune that he was going to ride in a Chrysler Imperial. But as time went on, he got very nervous because we kept making cracks about Russia, so we had to reassure him. And we said, don't worry, Vladimir. If anything goes wrong, we'll drive you to Siberia in the Chrysler Imperial. Everywhere we went, the Chrysler was a big success. Everybody wanted to work the windows and look at the engine, and they looked underneath the car. And they all asked the same question. What do you do to have a car like that? I said, I'm a newspaper man. They said, do all newspaper men in America have cars like that? I said, all the newspaper men I know do. William Randolph Hearst. Doc Whitney. I went to Hong Kong once to have a suit made. As you know, everybody spends $5,000 to go to Hong Kong to have a $25 suit made. And it's a heck of a bargain. And the Chinese are very aware of this. So on the plane, before you land, they ask you your name, your date of birth, your passport number, and whether you want a single or double-breasted vent in your jacket. And when I landed, the customs man asked me if I had anything to declare. I said, well, one shoulder's a little lower than the other. So he marked it with a piece of chalk. And they let me get on the bus. And going into town, we stopped for a red light, and the bus driver showed me several bolts of cloth. And I selected one. And then when we got to the hotel, the bell captain called out my measurements to the room clerk. And when I got to my room, my suit was finished and hanging in the closet.